to stay in the family, though.
My oldest boy, John Conyers III, who incidentally I endorse to replace me in my seat in Congress.
Conyers endorsing his son, John Conyers III, to replace him. He spoke from a Detroit hospital where he's been treated for stress-related issues. A huge wildfire sweeping through Ventura County, California, now over 32,000 acres have burned since it began just yesterday. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone. Proactive has an incredible offer for our listeners only. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free offer that includes a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With Prescription Strength Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. There's no better time to try Proactive. Today, we're letting all listeners try Proactive 100% risk-free. Plus, they're giving away a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping when you call right now. 800-772-7610. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive, a free deep cleansing brush, and free shipping. Take it from me. Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. For $19.95, you'll get Prescription Strength Proactive, plus a deep cleansing brush valued at $55, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 800-772-7610. That's 800-772-7610. One more time. Ready? 800-772-7610.
Ireland's reached an agreement with Apple to begin collecting about $15 billion in back taxes. The Irish government at first had fought the ruling, but now Kevin Ossebeck brings us up to date from Brussels.
Last year, the European Commission ruled Apple got a special and unfair tax break. The EU investigation revealed at times the company was paying a tax rate of less than 1%. At first, Dublin refused to collect the back taxes, which prompted
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com for Flemington and the surrounding area. Today, partly sunny, high near 66. It's around 61 out there right now. Raining possible after midnight. Tonight, Tuesday rain and possibly a thunderstorm in the morning. And then showers and possibly a thunderstorm during the day. Showers after that, high near 72. Tuesday night, showers likely. In the early evening, chance of precip about 70%. Not much, just probably something passing through. Wednesday, chance of showers and showers and thunderstorms likely after 9 a.m. High could be reaching to near 80 or maybe a little above. Back to summer for a day. Showers and thunderstorms likely Wednesday night. Again on Thursday. Highs will be in the 70s, clearing up for the weekend, though, hopefully after Friday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Hello, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, coming every Monday now. Last week we had a couple of mechanical or electronic issues here, but we're back live this week, talking about food or cooking, beverages, holidays, any occasion out there, right? Celebrate, get together. Feed your friends and family and yourself. So, what's happening? Summer's winding down. We're into Oktoberfest started. The annual sausages and beer over in Germany. Of course, we're starting at the restaurant. We start with a platter. We'll get some schnitzels and maybe some sauerbraten coming up in the near future. Try to offer a little bit of German cuisine. Of course, the beers are on tap. Pumpkin, everything now. Seems it starts earlier like on everything else, but the different pumpkin spice flavors, those nice warm fall spices are everywhere. BA beverages and foods. Looks like we'll bring in some pumpkin raviolis, a seasonal item that we offer every year on this time and through the fall. Of course, pumpkin cheesecake. We source from local suppliers. Madalena's Cheesecake, Lucy's Ravioli in Princeton. Use their products for years with great success, and we keep on doing it. So, I'm thinking as summer's winding down, of course, and this is my favorite time of the year, fall, because now the heat's over, the humidity's kind of gone. I still have the summer bounty, plus the new, all the fall vegetables, squashes and the like. Us a little bit, probably the most variety we have available. Spring is always tough because nothing started yet, and things left from the winter. And I'm talking seasonally, of course. There's we can get anything anytime now, but if you want to kind of follow the seasons, you find that's when the food tastes best too. So especially tomatoes. Thinking about tomatoes, of course the Jersey tomatoes and offer the salad through the summer until the farmer is out. Usually runs well into October. So we have tomato season ending and pumpkin season starting. So tomatoes are still coming in. And I was thinking about the influence of tomatoes on cuisine globally. I mean, everywhere. You figure they started I think first in Peru. You know, it's a product from this hemisphere. But when you think of the cuisines that have embraced the tomato, the Spanish cuisine, Italian cuisine, French, South France, especially around the Mediterranean, the warmer climates, Indian cuisine, and even Southeast Asia. And interestingly, I don't know, to me anyway, probably know that tomato, at first people were afraid of it. It was a kind of a decoration. They thought it was poison. It's a member of the nightshade family, and apparently the leaves and stuff can, if you eat enough of them, can be a little bit toxic. But the tomato, once they figured it out that it wasn't poisonous, it really embraced it. And when we think of tomato or tomato sauce, our first thought is usually Italian food. And I've seen, we want to talk about comfort food. The old, we used to call it Sunday gravy. And some restaurants have just done that all the time, just red sauce, spaghetti houses, whatever you want to call them. But even seeing a resurgence in these types of restaurants where you get, there's one in New York just called Parm. Everything, chicken parm and eggplant, veal parm, all those things with the sauce and the cheese, at least how we interpret it. It's familiar tastes, and probably there's a generation growing up now that may not have had those memories. Maybe the people did not cook that way. I know I used to do it on Mondays, make lasagna and some meatballs and have sausage, make a pot of sauce, have some pasta, just everything with the sauce. And I worked in an Italian restaurant years ago, and we actually did that every day. The you know, the 40-gallon braising pan of our gravy or our sauce, different than marinara. This was had meat cooked in it. If we were making brajoles that day, they got simmered in the sauce, meatballs, of course, and it flavored the sauce. And if we weren't producing those that day, we would start the sauce with some caps of the top round, some of the meat scraps, and get that flavor in there with your onions and your garlic. And then fish, you know, we'd fish the meat out afterwards. It wasn't really a meat sauce, but it did have the flavors in there. So thinking of tomatoes, the end of the season, of course, if you're fortunate, if you're growing them, or even if you can find them, I remember another place, one of the ladies used to get what they call soup tomatoes. And those are the really ones that are splitting open, and you can barely slice them, but they're great, they're dead ripe. And she would pass the tomatoes, meaning there's a device, you could use a food mill or a device similar, there's a hand-cranked one. We actually had it motorized, but it separates the skins and the seeds. You end up with a nice puree, and then in the glass jar to be hot-packed in the water bath, a teaspoon of salt and a couple of basil leaves, and that was the tomato puree. And make, you know, 50 jars or so, and once a week you had your jar of sauce for probably for Sunday gravy, right? And I'm thinking, you know, preserving tomatoes, of course, at the end of the season, there's a few things we can do. And then besides just familiar food, just, you know, exploring the different ways we can buy tomatoes besides fresh. Think of all the canned tomato products. And a lot of recipes, say you're trying to make fresh tomato sauce, it really gives you an appreciation for some of the pre-cooking that's been done. And when you figure all the water and everything that's in a tomato, if you get it down to, say, tomato paste, you know, tomato paste is a great convenience product that we have. The reduction of the tomato pulp, it's sweet, very concentrated. I remember our sauce growing up, oftentimes, it was tomato paste. You know, Contadina, the jingle, there are 8 great tomatoes in a little bitty can. And when you realize, if you make something like your own sauce, or if you're making ketchup or a tomato-based chili sauce, realize how much cooking is involved. I was looking at even, you know, the other ways that we can get canned tomatoes besides paste. You know, there's puree. You can find ground tomatoes or crushed, and those will have some skin and seed. And then the puree, obviously, is smooth. And I once asked Italian author one time, what's the difference between paste and puree? And he said, well, there's 2 different processes. And the paste, of course, the that seeds and skins are out. And I think if you cook your tomatoes with the seeds, you might get you know, a little bit of bitterness there, besides the textural difference. If you separate the seeds and the skins right away, and then you're just evaporating water at that point, get down to a nice, dense product. We use a product called tomato fillets. And they're packed in their own juice. And those are strips of tomatoes that are still have a little bit of, they're not chopped so finely. And sometimes you want that a little more rustic look, say in a seafood or chicken preparation. You can find diced tomatoes. You can find them diced and seasoned. And oftentimes with these, the diced products, even though they're ripe tomatoes, the calcium chloride that's put in there, sometimes if you're an ingredient label reader like I am, they help keep the tomato pieces firm. If you want that type of finished product where the you have the bits of tomato or the little cubes rather than a smooth puree. And there's the passata, which is probably means passed, a strained puree, shelf stable, aseptic packaging, where it's just, again, no, it's as if you did it yourself. Those are pretty good pure products. There's no extra stuff in there. And all these products I'm talking about, most of them maybe have a little salt in them, sometimes a basil leaf. And then, of course, you get into all your sauces. It seems there's no end to tomato sauces. It's funny how the same three or four ingredients can be combined to taste differently. And people will swear by one brand over another. Now, you want to watch for the additions of sugar and corn syrup, things like that. Really, you know, to me, don't belong in a tomato sauce. No need for it. When I used to want to sweeten sauce a little bit, I would we would put some carrots in when we were cooking. And years ago, I remember the canned tomatoes were fairly acidic. Now they're, I think there's just enough citric acid in there, but they are most, you know, good ripe tomatoes are low in acid. And I think for the safety factor, the canning process, probably it worked out. But I remember, years ago, having to add sometimes a little baking soda to neutralize the acid. And of course, if you're starting with onions and nice sweet onions and caramelize them, then you will get a nice sweet flavor in there. And tomatoes, like we talked before, are a fruit, actually. We serve them as a vegetable, but they're really a fruit. So when I'm looking at these products, I'm looking at probably the amount of solids that are in there. And I looked, for example, the number 10 cans that we buy for the restaurant. So a ground tomato and puree is weighs 6 pounds and 10 ounces, but the tomatoes fillets are 6 pounds, 6 ounces. 4 ounces, not a lot of difference for that size container, but it tells you that the ground tomatoes will be a little bit heavier in texture, more solids. And if you could get a commercial pizza sauce, the same container would weigh 6 pounds 11 ounces, and ketchup, because of the sugar that's in there, the same size can of ketchup will weigh over 7 pounds, and likewise with the commercial chili sauce. So when you look at the measure on the cans, but I also go by the weight on the cans, but I also go by the measures. Tomato paste, for example, say you have an 18 ounce can. That would tell you, if you were measuring, it would be over 2 cups, but it's not quite. Ketchup the same way. A 20-ounce bottle of ketchup will only give us about 2 cups of measuring. So when you're doing recipes, be careful note that if your tomato product, is it by weight or is it by measure? We've got a break now. We're going to come back and look at a couple of ways to... preserved tomatoes and, you know, some simple recipes. Currywurst. Speaking of Oktoberfest here, I discovered that. We'll talk about that. Interesting little dish. Chef Phil's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Bill's table here. WHCRDB coming to you live from Flemington, New Jersey. So tomatoes, so what types do we use? Now we find all these forms there, and I know one restaurant I worked with, we used to contract every year for our tomatoes, and supplier would bring, you know, several varieties. We used a whole peeled plum tomato, and that's what we would pass the tomatoes to make our sauce with. Another operation I worked at, we used a red pack out of California. Not really even the most expensive tomato, but California produces a lot of good tomatoes. Just found out also China, which you never think of, you know, tomatoes too much in Chinese cooking. Apparently, have discovered they can produce a ton of them for tomato paste or concentrate. Not really exporting ripe tomatoes for salads, things like that, but they're able to grow and process. And you'll see that as an ingredient on whether it's ketchup, barbecue sauce, anything like that, tomato concentrate. And that seems to be kind of, it's probably, you know, maybe not quite as dense as a tomato paste, but something that the tomato is obviously the skins and the seeds are gone. It's the water content's down, so it can be shipped more efficiently. The plum tomatoes, and people, you hear the San Marzano or San Marzano style, that's a variety, a nice, very good dense plum tomato for sauces. The plum tomatoes versus the round ones have more density to them, less water, more meat, let's say. We used to use pear tomatoes, which are another, actually a little bit sweeter, similar in size to the plum tomato, but instead of, you think of the kind of the plum tomato, that elongated shape, the pear tomatoes actually look like a little pear. You'll see those in the mini form sometimes. Now you get, there's grape tomatoes, there's tiny pear tomatoes, there's cocktail tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, no end to the varieties out there now, and multicolored. Those are obviously good for eating raw. Sometimes we'll blast them, the cherry tomatoes, cut them in half, or you can leave, better to cut them in half, you can leave them whole if they're small, and just blast them in some hot oil, just wrinkle the skin on the outside, gives that quick roasting flavor. So the plum or the pear tomatoes, always your best ones for sauce. The round tomatoes, of course, you can use those, but you know, you have to cook them down a little bit more, a little more water content in there. Preserving them, actually the tomatoes do freeze well, whether it's a puree or a paste or a sauce. One time, I think my brother had thrown tomatoes in the freezer. They wanted to save them. Figured, okay, I'll just put them in the freezer, and they're rock hard, obviously, and still have the stem and everything on them. So we took them out, and of course you can't slice them. The freezing process, the water expands at the freezing point, and it kind of blows the cells, so the you get nice pulp. And the neat thing was, though, the skin slides right off. You don't have to blanch them, and you're left with a nice tomato pulp, and then you can go from there. So if you have room in the freezer, freeze them on a, you know, you rinse them first, freeze them on a sheet pan, and then you can pack them in bags and freeze them whole if you don't have time to process them. The other way, of course, is to blanch them, peel them, you know, make your puree. You can freeze that as it is. Or you can cook it further and make a, you know, a chili sauce or a ketchup, some kind of concentrate like that, chutney. Any of these things will kind of preserve the harvest for a little while. I mean, why make your own ketchup? Well, if you're worried about a lot of ketchups have the high fructose corn syrup in them. You can use your own sugar, or you can use honey. You could do whatever you want to sweeten it up. And also control the amount of sugar and salt that's in the product. I think ketchups, when they were first made, were fairly tart. They were not as sweet. And, of course, people's taste, you know, evolved and found that, oh, a little sugar in there, well, it makes it even better. It balances out the acid. But initially, the ketchups were not sweet at all. Another way we'd use these at the restaurant, especially out of season, it's a nice trick. The plum tomatoes, I mean, they're usually pretty good year-round. Sometimes the round ones get a little bit, for shipping reasons, they're a little bit pink. They're not really dead ripe. Don't have a lot of flavor all the time. Of course, the varieties that are bred for shipping are not always the best tasting. But the plum tomatoes, we will roast them and use them in dishes. And the roasting, of course, concentrates the flavor. And to roast plum tomatoes, your oven should be around 450 degrees, 425. You'll need your nice sheet pan. And we'll take the plum tomatoes. Of course, take the little core out there. You could use a strawberry huller or just, I mean, if you want to be quick, you could, I guess, just slice the end off. But if you want to preserve all the flesh there, just take the end of a paring knife and just get the stem out of there. Then we'll cut them in half and then into segments. The average plum tomato, probably each half would go into either 4, 5, or 6 wedges. Again, depending on the size of the tomato. So we'll toss these with olive oil and some minced garlic, salt and pepper, and a little bit of thyme. I guess you could use basil or oregano. We use thyme. That seems to be, no matter what we use the tomatoes for, the thyme seasons them, but it doesn't take it too much in any one direction. So we spread these out on the sheet pan. Of course, they're oiled. You toss them. I always toss them in a bowl, make sure they're well coated, and then into the oven. And depending on, you know, how good your oven is, how many tomatoes you have on the sheet pan, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 12, 14. We usually do it in 7-minute increments. And again, we're doing a big pan. It might take a little bit longer. But you want to roast these till they just give up some of their juice. And depending, again, you can take them to where they're almost like a sun-dried tomato. You could cook them a long time. The fillets will still be intact, but all the liquid, a lot of it will be evaporated and leaving. Don't really want them to brown too much. So we'll let them cool off once they're to the degree you want. We like them at least half cooked, if not all the way. And you'll have these nice tomato fillets. Of course, the skin is still on, so it's going to hold them together. Once they're cooled down, we take all the juices and the oil and put them in a container. Now, at this point, if you want to give it a little more life, you could top them off with your olive oil. Again, making sure they're covered, no air gets in there. And at this point, you know, they're a preserved tomato is good for a few days. But if you can freeze that product, and when you freeze with oil on the product, of course, you're not going to get that expansion that you do with water. Really, it's oil. It's not going to really freeze solid. But we used to buy a product like that. They're very expensive. There were tomatoes packed in oil with the, you know, the seasonings and the garlic. And it would come in. One time it came in and it was had frost on it. Like, oh, they actually keep these in the freezer. And we've tried that. You know, we do it with herb purees and things like that that we're trying to save. Pack them in oil and put them in the freezer. And really anything to keep the air out is what you want to do. And by not using water, by using oil, you don't get that that damage that happens when the water expands at the freezing point.
Would you know my name?
These little tomato fillets, too, they're great on a pizza if you wanted instead of a sauce. Just put down some of the nice tomato fillets for a change, and with your fresh mozzarella for your and the basil, of course. With these tomato fillets, you'll find them. We put them in sauces for fish. They're really concentrates the flavor. It works out pretty well. The other thing, of course, at the end of the season, you may have green tomatoes left. You know, it's you're going to get a frost. You want to get them harvested, but they're not ripe yet. Now I've got green tomatoes, and of course, pickling those is one way, especially the plum tomatoes. We used to use those in an antipasto, little relish-type dish before dinner. We would get the pickled green plum tomatoes and slice them, marinate them with some oil and garlic and hot pepper, and then mix that with some olives, some jardiniera, and it was a nice relish before dinner. Like antipasto, if you want to call it. A little aside, that's probably how we started eating salad before a meal instead of as a course after the meal or a side dish. I think we probably adapted from the Italian antipasti, which oftentimes are vegetables. Sometimes there's meats involved or cheeses, but more often than not, it's just some nice grilled or roasted vegetables that have come to room temperature. And this kind of got, you know, morphed into having this salad. I always wonder at people eating a bunch of lettuce and usually with a heavy dressing before you have your food. Doesn't always follow logic, right? But green tomatoes, if you have them, of course, fried green tomatoes, we run them all summer. We'll keep them going as far in toward winter as we can. Some places do them year-round. I'm sure you can always find a green tomato, right? You know, always the problem is waiting for them to ripe, but you should always be able to find a green tomato somewhere. We've got a break for news right now. We'll come back. We'll make some fried green tomatoes and see about doing some other things with the humble tomato at Chef Bill's table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump in New York City for a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly, where he's asked by reporters about the latest allegations against his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. A second woman is now making allegations of sexual misconduct back in the early 80s. President Trump tells reporters,
people that come out of the woodwork from 36 years ago and 30 years ago and never mentioned it, all of a sudden it happens. In my opinion, it's totally political.
In a statement, Kavanaugh strongly denies the woman's allegations that he exposed himself to her when they were at a party at Yale in the early 80s. President Trump says a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un may happen soon. The president this morning citing tremendous progress in talks with the North towards denuclearizing the peninsula. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
At Chef Bill's table here, WHCRDB, 100 in Chamber Radio. So our green tomatoes, fried green tomatoes, tomato chutney, amazing the path that the tomato took from humble beginnings in South America, probably in Mexico were the first to really domesticate. That's at least how the story goes. And, of course, got brought back to Spain. You know, one of those things, we had the explorers, conquistadors, colonists, whatever word you want to use, spreading, of course, looking for spices, trade routes. But food items got spread around that way. And it's because when we think of, you know, Italian food, we think of tomato sauce. Like I said, the old, the people that settled here came from those regions, so that's what we, you know, thought Italian food was. Obviously, there's much more to it than that, but took the tomato and embraced it, but the Spanish took it back, and of course, climate was right. So from Spain to Italy, south of France, by way of the Philippines, of course, as travelers went through the Pacific there and then worked their way into Southeast Asia and India. England, I mean, everybody kind of embraced the tomato, and if you couldn't grow it where you were, then maybe you brought some in. But all the cuisines anywhere, you know, tomatoes have they need a lot of degree days, a fairly long growing season to be good. So the places that produce them, of course, produce a ton of them. But it seemed Spain and Italy, you know, south of France, again, as far as European and Morocco, climates like that were very good. And these countries, the people really embraced it once they figured out it wasn't poison, really did well with it. Took it and developed into backbone of some of their regional cuisines. So if we have green tomatoes, frying these little babies, they fry up nicely. You can't fry ripe tomatoes; they're too soft. We've even had them. Sometimes we'll get them green, and then they will start to slowly take on a little bit of orange hue after a while, and those aren't as good. You want them to be tart. Of course, a green tomato is tart, so it's a good appetizer. Although the colonists used to make green tomato pie, you can make tomato pies with. In a pie crust type thing, or a tart, open-faced. Slice them thinly with onions, and it's a savory. It's not something for dessert, but it would be something that you would have as a first course or as a light lunch, tomato pie. So what we do, when we slice the tomatoes, and you want them, 3/8 of an inch, you know, about the thickness of a French fry. You don't want them too thin. Otherwise, you've got too much coating and not enough flavor in there. And we used a standard breading procedure, seasoned flour, and then beaten egg. And then our mix for coating them, we use equal amounts of cornmeal, panko, and Parmesan cheese. If you don't want the cheese in there, the cornmeal panko, cornmeal and breadcrumbs. The cornmeal gives it a good crunch. Some recipes may call just for straight cornmeal. I think that's a little bit overkill. I like to mix them with the breadcrumbs, and panko are nice and crispy when they're fried up. You add the cheese in there, and then you can, if you don't have a deep fryer, you can always shallow fry in a couple of inches of oil in a wide skillet, something with some high sides on it, and they're really just browning up the crust there. The tomatoes are not going to cook all the way through. You still want them to be a little bit firm. You know, just get them warmed through. And then, of course, you got to have ranch dressing, right? The New York Times had a big feature on the history of it, a good old ranch dressing. We put a little cayenne in ours, so it's a little spicy. People seem to like that. We also use that dressing on a Santa Fe salad that we have, a black bean and corn and iceberg, good old Southwestern flavors in there, and some tequila marinated chicken. But this cayenne ranch is good, or any version of ranch, right? And you have a little dip there. Some places, barbecue places that have the green tomatoes, may, you know, put some shrimp on there, jazz it up a little bit. One of my favorite combinations, if you have some thick slab bacon, or even better yet, if you've cured your own and have some nice sections of crispy pork belly, but the bacon works well, cut it thick, and pimento cheese, that old southern staple that actually, I think, started up north, but has been embraced, and making, we've made it before, pimento cheese, shredded cheese and some mayonnaise. You think that's a horrible combination, but it makes a nice spread. And I'm not talking about the smooth, homogenous one that comes in a jar. If you make your own, you've got nice shredded cheese. Put some good roasted peppers in there. You can season it up. But a fried green tomato with, if you want a, you know, a nice stack for even a sandwich, make your BLT with fried green tomatoes instead of the ripe tomatoes. The ripe ones, maybe not, maybe run out, maybe you're done for the season. But try it with a fried green tomato. Throw some cheese on there and you'll have a nice kicked up BLT. The other thing, I mentioned, well, of course, soup tomatoes, and those ones that are splitting open, tomato soup, one of the great convenience products that we have. Everybody loves it, right? Canned tomato soup, whether you add cream or not, pretty simple to make. I mean, you could take something as simple as a few pounds of tomatoes, pass them to the food mill to get your liquids and solids, and then start cooking it down, salt, pepper, and basil. At the end, it gets a little bit thick. You want to add a dash of cream. You've got very, very simple soup. Of course, we like to do a little bit more than that. We like to start with at least some onion. Don't necessarily need to use garlic. What we would do in the hotels, we would start even a tomato soup with a mirepoix, onion, carrot, and celery. So you've got those aromatic vegetables working in there. And you're sautéing them. And then a thing we do in a lot of classical cooking, but we have something like tomato paste, and you're using it to enrich things. It adds some texture, some mouthfeel, some color. If you sauté tomato paste, now you think, oh, this stuff's already cooked. It's cooked a long time to evaporate the liquid. But when you sauté the tomato paste in oil, gives it another flavor, caramelizes a little bit. So if you're making a tomato soup, that would be, or even a sauce, that would be a good idea in the beginning to put a little tomato paste in there. It just makes it that much richer. But we would use a mirepoix and then have your canned tomato product with the juice. You could put a little chicken broth if you like in there, but not necessary. And any way that you want to season it, but we would let this cook, and then we would strain all the solids out. We would not serve it. This was going to be a pureed soup. So it gets fairly thick. You could also puree the whole deal with the solids and then strain them. If you want a really refined soup, if you want something a little texture, just like I've used to thicken up sauces, we've talked about just straining that cooked mirepoix. You've got some bulk there with the carrot and the onion. The celery, of course, is fully cooked. And if you don't like the fibrous nature of celery, use celery root because that purees very nicely. But this way you've got a soup that you can, again, finish with dairy if you like. Season it how you like it, but have your mirepoix in there. As I say, either a little, tomato juice, tomatoes, anything like that, and make yourself a nice tomato soup. Of course, if you're making tomato sauce, which you should be doing by now, but again, I say the same three, onion, garlic, and basil, salt, and pepper. But it really does depend on the tomatoes that you use. And as I said before, if you like a quick marinara, most of the time we would use just the ground or crushed tomatoes. You want a little bit of texture to the sauce. If you like it smooth, I would use the paste, the puree, the strained tomatoes, anything like that. But very simple. Again, minced onion, minced garlic. If you don't want the pieces of garlic in there, just cut the cloves in half and crush them, put them in your sauce, and you can always pick them out later. Does a bay leaf belong in there? I don't know. If you like bay leaf, a little bit of bay. But the basil, a little oregano, for other applications or recipes, you may want to go more in the direction of thyme. And then, of course, salsa, the uncooked version. Chopping up, and we like the plum tomatoes for that. You can make the pico de gallo, the classic, with your jalapenos and cilantro, a little bit of onion. A lot of salsas, there is cooked versions that you can buy. There are cooked versions you can buy. And you could still make those at home on your own. But probably then, besides your tomatoes, you would probably use then some of the tomato paste to help thicken it or tomato puree. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll look at a couple other possibilities here for our tomatoes at the end of the season, or anytime, Chef Bill's Table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here at WHCR-DB. Figuring out what to do with our tomatoes, right? Remember we used to do a little combination of the best of both. We all had spice cake before, right? Spice cake, carrot cake, any of those. This is a kind of a, I guess the term for it now is a, call it a hack or something. I don't know. Using, products, convenience products, if you will. Instead of making something from scratch, but we do our like with all the zucchini, you do zucchini bread, and always have these same spicy flavors in there. Or spices, the fall spices, pumpkin spice, whatever you want to call it. So, tomato soup cake, and you would take your box of cake mix. That usually you have to add a couple of eggs and some oil, and instead of the oil, we would add some canned tomato soup as some of the liquid. And you think, it does gets a little bit of a reddish color. Usually, red, of course, will help intensify. Even I remember in chocolate glazes, we would put red food coloring in there, that low end of the spectrum there, it would intensify the dark chocolate color. But the tomato soup in there, you don't really taste it. It's still a nice sweet cake. You've got those spices, the sugar, everything in there, and do a cream cheese frosting. And that was a nice little combination for a fall dessert. So bringing it into tomatoes into Oktoberfest now. We don't think of German cuisine as having tomatoes. I mean, the climate probably, don't grow too many there. You don't see a lot of red sauces, let's say. But Berlin, apparently, it was something and came up with, probably, I don't know how many years ago, 40s, 50s. And the lady wanted to, with the worsts, of course, the sausages, street food, French fries, of course, you'll see everywhere. And she wanted to reflect probably her heritage, may have been partly from England, which would, embraced curries, of course, from India when it was their colony, and made a curry ketchup for serving on bratwursts or Bauernwurst, anything like that. Kind of more of a coarse ground sausage. Not necessarily, the hot dogs as we think of them, kids always put ketchup on hot dogs, but this curry ketchup intrigued me. And apparently it's just, it's like fish and chips or street food. It's all over, especially in Berlin. And the currywurst is with French fries, with this curry ketchup. And actually, a lot of people dash a little bit more curry powder on top. And, curry powder is normally, people that really do curries, of course, will make their own garam masala, their own spice mix. Commercial curry powder is just kind of this, middle-of-the-road stuff. But it does still have a use. It has a flavor. So, I had some, and I think, you see recipes that you're almost, you're making ketchup from scratch, which is probably a really cool thing to do. Start with your sautéed onions and add your tomato product, and then you have your sugar, your vinegar, the spices, the allspice, cinnamon, cloves, all the neat things that go into ketchup. I was looking for something a little simpler, something that also I think could be, you know, a little more shelf stable. So I use the granulated onion, some Worcestershire sauce. There's recipes for this. A good amount of curry powder, a little bit of honey. And could have done honey, could have done sugar. I elected to use honey. Keep everything kind of liquid there. Some chili powder. And a little bit of, you need a little bit of salt and pepper. You add some water to it also. So you've got your ketchup, and well, you just mix this stuff up and let it sit overnight. The flavors will meld together. You've got a curry ketchup. And I'm thinking, well, I took it and heated it up. Again, knowing that heating up a concentrate like that does change it. And it was very good. And I did a Bauernwurst, which is a coarser ground. Think of it kind of like a smoked bratwurst. A little different seasoning in it. A little spicy. This curry ketchup, though, paprika goes in there, too. And some people, if they want a little spicier, maybe use the hot paprika or, you know, think of, say, you know, a sriracha ketchup, how, you know, prevalent that sauce has become. Any kind of little hot chili in there, if you like your ketchup spiced up. I've done a spiced ketchup before where you're cooking the ketchup, and it's kind of probably got its origins maybe in Indian cuisine with you're sauteing the ketchup, but take it in another direction with some garlic and ginger, fresh ginger. And you could have a little minced shallot also, but you're going to cook that just till they're aromatic, not to brown them. And then add your ketchup to this aromatic oil. And it's going to splatter a little bit. You know, you've got to stir it. A wooden spoon is the best, or a whisk, but you want to make sure that you don't get too much on you. So low heat, and let the ketchup simmer, and you will see it change color. And then reseason if you need a little bit more salt or pepper in there, and it doesn't take long, but just that little blast in the oil there, again, it'll darken up, but just you're taking, you know, it caramelizes the sugars a little bit that are in there, maybe that high heat, but really does change the nature of the product. So whether it's curry ketchup or any kind of spiced ketchup, you can take the convenience product, obviously, your bottled ketchup, and alter it, or start from scratch with, of course, some people may want to start with fresh tomatoes, or start with if you want to start with a tomato paste and water, you know, and then, again, control your salt and your sugar, the type of sugars you're using, and even the spice level of your homemade ketchup. Great condiment, though. It just, a little bit of it helps many things. I sneak it in ingredients as an ingredient all the time. In fact, there was one, spinach stuffing we used to do for fish, and the owner had this little secret. She was Italian, and, you know, you have your chopped spinach and your onion and garlic, a little oregano, some white wine, and she would sneak a couple of tablespoons of ketchup in there. And you don't really know, you can't identify what's in there, but it just does that. It's got that nice balance of sweet and sour. Puts that little tomato in there. And I thought it was odd that, you know, would do that instead of a tomato paste. But the ketchup in there, again, gives it that other dimension that you're looking for. Again, that perfect match of sweet and sour. Can you show me what is that? So try your currywurst. That's what I'm going to have for, I had a piece last night just to check it out, and I think we're going to offer it. But just the sausages, what we do is you kind of notch the sausage about halfway in across, maybe a little, you know, half inch or quarter inch intervals. So some presentations, actually, they just slice up the sausage, but if you notch it halfway through, and then I roasted it for a little bit. You could probably grill it. Of course, it fans out a little bit. The casing kind of shrinks when it cooks, so you end up with kind of a semicircle. And so you've got the, you know, more of the surface of the sausage is already cooked anyway. You're just heating it up. But for the presentation, kind of opens up the little pieces there, and you just kind of bite them off. Or cut them off with a fork, and have again your curry ketchup and some good French fries. I don't know. It sounds like could be a new snack. So we're going to wind down. We're getting to the end of the hour. Hopefully you find some use for tomatoes, whether you grow them, whether you're going to a farmer's market, or just anything. Very familiar flavor, many ways to use it. Make some Sunday gravy, have a nice event with spend the day cooking and enjoying, or get into Oktoberfest and bring a little tomato into the German cuisine. Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein may soon be out of a job. He's currently at the White House, where NBC News is reporting Rosenstein is going to refuse to resign in an expected White House meeting that's believed to just be beginning. They say he will tell John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, that he would have to be fired if President Trump wants him out. That followed an earlier report by Axios that Rosenstein has verbally resigned in a phone call already with White House Chief of Staff Kelly. Comedian Bill Cosby will soon be sentenced for drugging and sexually assaulting a former Temple University Athletics Department staffer at his home in 2004. Cosby's sentencing hearing starting today in Pennsylvania. He was found guilty last April. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
A second woman making allegations of sexual misconduct against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The New Yorker reports Deborah Ramirez claims Kavanaugh